This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Scarf Bagara War with me, Russ Johnson. I'm joined by Waggy. You okay, mate?
I'm all right, thanks. How's yourself?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's been a busy, busy week already and it's only Wednesday. We are part of the TalkSport Fan Network. We are also charity partners with Mentel for this year and we'll have some of those podcasts coming very soon. I've already recorded one. I've got more in the planning. Been a busy week, hasn't it, mate?
Yeah, it has.
Lots of podcast planning and lots of
looking
at county stuff and seeing all the county news about the ground.
Started seeing what the podcast fairies do.
Yeah, you've taken the blue pill, I think it is the blue pill.
The blue pill, yeah.
Yeah. So tonight on the agenda, we're going to talk about the Swindon game, the draw on Saturday. We're going to look ahead to Colchester. We haven't got an opposition review, unfortunately. And we'll talk about some of the injuries as well. We've got our guest who sat in the back room waiting patiently to come out and we'll introduce him in a second. We've got Get In The Rezzers. So I hope you've got a good one this week, Waggy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and we'll read out everybody else's Get In Rezzers as well on the chat. And we've got podcast announcements to get through. Might talk about the ground thing as well. Just mentioned that the asset of community value and the lease, because that's all starting to come out now. So yeah, shall we get our guest out and waste no time?
Yes, let's.
Yes, that was a question to you, Waggy.
Okay. No, let's begin there.
Okay, so we've done this in the past with fan guests, just to get to know them before they come out and get a sense of how long they've been supporting county and things like that. So the usual questions, when did you first go to county? And our guest said he was 5 months old in 1997, which makes me feel really old. So I don't know what does it to you, Waggy.
Yeah, no, that's just ridiculous. I think that's like half my life gone.
Yeah.
Up to this point, I don't mean that.
Yeah, you weren't. Yeah, you weren't.
My expiry date is now. Yeah.
But it was a 4-2 win, and it's never stopped since that day. Best game, it says either the 5-0 Wrexham at home, which is we'll go for that, or Nuneaton to win the North in the start of our return. Yes, absolutely. And then best player, fortunate to witness a lot of quality players at County. However, the one that strikes to mind in particular, Anthony Pilkington.
Yes, Pilks.
Pilks, who went on to play in the Premier League. So that's a pretty good choice, I would say. Oh, is he on that little picture behind you for those audio listeners?
For all them audio listeners.
Yep. Cool. Right. So if it's Pilks is his favourite player, then we'll do the Gleeson transition and get out Jamie Redding.
Gleeson! Stephen Gleeson, what a beauty!
Hey, Jamie Redding.
Hello, lads.
Thanks for having me. No worries, mate. Great. Thanks for coming on. We'll get it out of the way first. Younger brother of Andy Redding, who was on a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Yes, Andy from the Cheadle end.
Apparently. The good-looking one.
You're the good-looking one, or he is.
He's watching, so I'll have to apologise later. But he won't mind me saying.
Quick question. Are you all County fans then, all the brothers? Or is it a mixture?
Mixture. United, City, one Liverpool. But me and Andy, County through and through.
Zeno's the black sheep of the family than the Liverpool fan.
Say that again, sorry, Waggy.
Is he the black sheep of the family? Liverpool.
Yeah, although it's interesting because I live on the Wirral and Liverpool's closer to me than anyone else. So,
yeah, I'm in Liverpool as well. I'm literally just at the back of Everton's ground in Walton.
Oh, yeah, not far, about 20 minutes.
Yep.
Wow, am I the only person from Stockport on this podcast?
Interesting fact, I live about a mile away from John Kieran, believe it or not.
Do you get lifts in? Do you share lifts for match days and stuff?
No, we often joke about it in passing, but no.
Never happened?
No, I don't think he wants to get a car with me, to be quite honest.
Why is that? Come on,
I don't know. I like to talk, but then so a lot would say so would he, because he's a commentator, but
yeah.
Great man.
I wonder if he's a commentator in his private life. So if he was driving you and you sat next to me, he'd start like
commentary driving.
Yeah. It's so annoying, wouldn't it?
It'd be like that Peter Drury cartoon that Ben mentioned the other week.
Yeah. So yeah, good stuff. Okay, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about County and all that stuff, and then we'll come on to you later. But yeah, just get involved pretty much and have a chat. Before we do that, just like to say welcome to everybody that's online. It's all the usual lot. It's Phil Lloyd, Ian Dowden, JK, Nick Ten, Andy from the Childe end. I think
Childe
end. Andy, he spelt Cheadle wrong, Andy. Where does Andy live? Does he live in Stockport?
I mean, it's in bright big letters on top of the Cheadle end to give you some help.
Yeah. And we've also got Martin's on as well. Martin Lillam, who was the first winner of one of our Salford tickets as we handed it over on Saturday, didn't we? Which was good. So let's get into it then. Start with Swindon on Saturday, obviously 0-0. Lots of chances for us. Keeper was okay. What did you make of it?
Well, we went through this on the club call, didn't we? But we did everything but score, didn't we? Basically, they didn't threaten us at all. We did everything but score. If we'd have been a bit more clinical, and I think we mentioned it on the club call as well. I think at the minute we just want like a goal just going off in Sarsi's arse or something like that. Just get it in the back of the net, and I think that will change the look. We seem to have gone the complete opposite of looking to score. We're just looking not to concede. And then see where we go from that. I think that seems to be a bit more of the mentality. But we looked a lot better and a lot more balanced when Pye came on the field. We looked more adventurous and stuff like that as well, didn't we? So I think that was that was my main take on it. What did you think, Jamie?
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about Ethan Pye. I just thought, credit to him as well, to be fair, because he's just come back from injury and he seems to look as if he's just picked up from where he left off, basically. But it's interesting what you said about just we didn't have that clinical edge. If we go back to when we were in the 12 unbeaten, 13 unbeaten run, it could have been another day like that where we score the five that we've created. And
yeah,
we're by far the better side. They didn't pose a threat, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Did you think that that we've kind of done a bit of a reset? So when we got leathered by Tranmere and obviously had to play Gillingham the following Tuesday, it's almost like I get the feeling it's almost like, right, let's go back to basics. Let's get the back sorted. Not so much play not to concede, but definitely be better at the back. And then you can build on that. And Swindon, I saw a progression of that. Okay, we didn't score. We didn't break them down. Like you say, Jamie, it could have been 1-0. And I think if we'd have scored, they weren't coming back from it. I just get this feeling that Colchester on Saturday, I hope to see a continuation of that. And it'll be a good away win, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Charlie said it in one of his interviews, I think following the Tranmere game. But like what you said, just re-emphasising like what we're about, our principles, just the basics really, and our identity, as he would often refer to it.
Yeah. Duncan Baines says, terrible first half, brilliant second half. If we pick up on Saturday where we left off, I fancy us to get back to winning ways. Yeah. So that, yeah, pretty much what we just said, and totally agree with that. What do we need to do differently though? And don't say score.
Score.
Silence in the room. I mean, I know if it's not for you, it's not for you, but XG, I know the XG wasn't that high on Saturday. Is it the chances? Is it the quality of chances that we're creating that's
yeah? One needs to be more clinical. We need to be clinical when we have these chances, because you then you go back like that 12 game unbeaten run, and even you look at, like we mentioned, the Wrexham game. We only had 5 shots on target, I think, for that game, didn't we? 5 or 6 shots, and we scored 5 goals from it. So it's been that more clinical. But as you say, yeah, maybe just creating easier chances. But I suppose it's easier said than done, isn't it? It's easier sat here on a podcast to say, yeah, just create easier chances. That's it. We'll be laughing then. But I know there's a lot more work that goes into it than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you watch the game from, Jamie? Are you in the main stand doing what you do, or do you get into the Cheadle end, or?
To be fair, I kind of position myself where it just the Cheadle end and the Danny Bigara in that little corner, so to speak. And if I'm needed for whatever reason, I'll obviously, you know.
Yeah.
We told everybody what Jamie does at the club.
No, I was just about to say, yeah, so we'll come to that later. But Jamie, I'm going to just briefly explain what you do, because it might link into the sort of the comments that you make and viewpoints and things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. So for the past 5 years or so, worked in the ticket office. I think people know me mostly for the ticket office, but in recent times it's been obviously the mascots and stuff, because obviously I come across loads of different mascots, families, parents and stuff. But yeah, it's either ticket office or team mascot.
Right, yeah. So just bear that in mind, because obviously you'll talk from, not from the perspective of a mascot, you know, like 3 foot tall, but you do your thing, don't you? Go in the corner, and that's where you stay for the matches. A couple more comments coming in. I mean, some obvious ones, some not. It was poor finishing, particularly from the box. Is that in the box or probably inside the box? I would say
inside
that is.
The box, yeah.
And then obviously Martin says, put it to the side of the goal instead of straight at him. Well, yeah, I think that was very clear to see on Saturday, wasn't it? Everything was down the throat of the keeper. He made a couple of good saves, but
yeah,
saves he should be making, really.
Yeah.
So not a great day. Charlie, as honest as ever in his post-match, wasn't he, as well? So,
I think you say he doesn't mince his words, does he? If we were like against Tranmere, certainly against Tranmere, not so much against his crew, because that was a one-off, but then against Tranmere we were absolutely awful and he just ripped into them, which is completely, you know, completely honest and the way it should be. And as you say, you're hoping that after that they all had a good rant at each other inside the changing room. And I think, you know, you say a bit of clear the air talks and stuff like that.
Yeah, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see how Charlie looked doing the interview after the Tranmere game. He looked seething.
Yeah.
Like you could tell he wasn't happy. But like you said, he never minces his words. He never beats behind the bush. Always up front, always honest. I suppose that's where you want to know where you stand, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you definitely get the feeling that all the players know where they stand, don't they?
Definitely.
Yeah. And just coming back to Pye as well, do we give credit to the physios and the medical team? Because Wotton came back and he looked like he'd never been away. Maka came back, he looked like he'd never been away. Pye's come back, same again.
And he's two or three weeks ahead of schedule as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
From what was initially said and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we've now got rid of the ACL merchant and we seem to be pretty good that way. That's how, don't we?
Don't jinx it, Waggy. Don't jinx
it. He's already jinxed Carlisle, I think.
Yeah, if Barry comes back now and goes out with an ACL, it's your fault, Waggy. It's your fault.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, because I mentioned it. Yeah, but will that be our medical team or will that be Villa's medical team?
Well, has he not been with us?
I know he said in the courtyard on Saturday that he'd been training with Villa that morning. He said he'd been training with Villa. So I don't know which. He's still like, you know, registered to us. But I presume that some of his rehabilitation will be with Villa.
Yeah, I'd have thought so as well.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose it stands to reason when you think about it. They've probably got better facilities than us, to be fair, aren't they? And better rehab facilities, which is fair enough. Phil Lloyd says, medical team are doing a great job under the circumstances. Must be very crowded in that treatment room. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have beds in the corridors at the training ground and everything, won't
they? It's interesting that comment was made because, obviously, if you go down the tunnel, the doctor's room is there. And like you said, it's always a party going on.
I was going to say, is there a queue?
There's usually a lot of people in there.
Blow up beds and things like that. Just trying to get room for everyone.
It's the room that I would like to be least crowded, but yeah, just unfortunate circumstances, aren't they? But like you touched on there, they're doing a great job medically. I wouldn't want to be in that situation right now, if I'm being perfectly honest.
And I know you haven't got the inside scoop and things, but Do you even know how many medical staff we've got? I mean, I don't. I could probably look it up online, to be honest, but...
No. I know we've got the club doctor. And I know we've got, obviously, Luke Smith, a touchline physio. I'm not saying that there isn't. I just don't know.
Yeah. I would suspect they're probably at Carrington, aren't they? Because you know when you play Football Manager, like as we know we all do, there's like loads of little dots, isn't there, for the medical team when you get into League 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Swindon. Obviously need an improvement on Saturday. Let's talk about Colchester on Saturday. They're currently languishing down there. Obviously got a new manager in the Cowley brothers, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which, when they went to Colchester, I pricked my ears up a bit because I thought, wow, that's a pretty good appointment. But it looks like they've not really had any real impact or sustainable impact since they've gone in. Don't know if you've seen anything of it or know anything about Colchester.
No, I've come to the same conclusion. I thought they would hit the ground running there. Put it this way, if I was a Colchester United fan, in their shoes, I'd be a bit disappointed. I'd obviously buzzing that we've secured the management like that, but underperforming, I think. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, no, they're in 21st place. They've not won in five, although they've drawn four out of the last five. So that's not too bad. Not too bad. It is, you know, the last time they won was on the 27th of January away at Morecambe. And before that, it was the 22nd of December at home to Salford. They've drew and mainly lost since then. So I don't know when the Cowley brothers came in, but whatever it is they're doing doesn't look like it's working.
No, but have they got, as you say, have they had a chance to actually bring any players in, or have they still got the existing squad? Because I suppose that's got to make some sort of difference. But you still expect some sort of manager bounce, don't you? But
yeah.
As long as that continues on Saturday, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a strange one, isn't it? Because the other teams around them have started to pick up points, haven't they? I know Forest Green picked up a point against Wrexham last night. We recorded this on Wednesday, so it's Tuesday night. And Sutton got a
beat Notts.
Yeah, they got a decent result away at Notts County. And I think if I'm right in saying 4 goals away at Notts County, they scored a third of their away goals for the season in one match against Notts County.
they're a weird one, Sutton. I mean, it's not many teams go to Notts County and score 4 goals.
No.
I know in recent seasons we've not been like free scoring there and stuff like that, but
this season they seem to be one of those that they seem to have quite a few high scoring games. To be sort of attitude of the old basically we're going to score one more than you. I think that's the way that Notts seem to play, more so at home than they do away. But score 4 goals away from home when you're bottom of the table, it's decent, isn't it? I know Notts are a bit leaky at the back, but it's still, you wouldn't have expected them to go there. You'd have expected them to got turned over like they did at our place, with the way that Notts play. They play, you know, a lot of passing around and stuff, don't they? So you would expect them to pass them off the field.
But, well, I was shocked when I seen the score last night. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Yeah, same. And it says two things to me. It says hopefully Sutton will take points off our rivals. I know we've got to go away to Sutton yet, haven't we, I think? Sometime in early April. And that's one thing I think I'm hoping that happens. The other thing that I don't hope happens is it's just our luck that Notts will sack their manager 2 days before we get to play them.
Do you think they'll sack him? Do you think he'll get sacked before the end of the season? Because he's only just come in. Well, he's came in 5-6 games, or beginning of January, did he?
When were we due to play them? Was that early Jan or mid to late Jan? 20th of Jan, right? 21st of Jan.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I say that is because I do watch the Notts County Talk Lads. And the rumblings are starting to happen of is he the right man, that kind of thing. Because it has been, they didn't have any manager bounce, I don't think, and they've gone into almost free fall. I think they're down in 13th now. Let me just check that. Yes, yeah, so they're down in 14th and they've lost 4 of the last 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So puts our little blip into comparison, doesn't it? And I know we're not Notts County and we're going for the title and things before people get on. But yeah. Colchester. I mean, back to Colchester, just looking at their players. And this is why we like to get opposition reviews on, because we clearly do not know anything about opposition players. So just doing a bit of research. See, I thought that lad from, he used to play for West Ham, played for Colchester, but he must have moved on. Is it Freddie Sears? West Ham. I thought he was playing for them, but he's not appearing in any of their sort of stats and things. I mean, in terms of stats, they're way behind us in terms of goals per game, and which you would expect, you know, the 21st. You know, I'm not saying I expect anything different. But it all points to, we expect to win, don't we? And it's not quite been like that in the past, certainly 3 games for us.
Well, if your game is played on paper, all signs point to a county win. But it isn't played on paper, is it? So
no. No, it's not.
No, but as you say, there's been Tranmere, reset after Tranmere, a good draw, a good point at Gillingham, clean sheet, and then unlucky not to take all 3 points from Swindon. Starting to put more pressure on their goal and stuff like that. So, again, hopefully...
Yeah, it's not been the worst.
No.
It's not been the worst case scenario. Like, if you look at Gillingham and Swindon, like, we were the favourable side. Like, we had the more chances and stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd have edged your bets on us winning that game based on how we played. But I think when we went on that run, just before, like, the Wimbledon game, or... I can't remember the first game that we won of that consecutive run. But our form was very varied. And I was speaking to my brother yesterday, actually, and he said someone's going to get a battering off us in the very near future. And I hope he's right. But I do feel like that's kind of the case. I don't know, because, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It does feel like it's a coiled spring, if that's the right thing to say, you know, where it feels like it's coming up to something where we're gonna not so much click back into the way we were, but we're gonna score some goals. We've got to score some goals pretty soon. The team is too good. There's too much quality there for us not to. And yeah, I think it was Wimbledon. Was it Wimbledon that's kicked off that winning run? I'm sure some of the comments.
It was. Yeah, we drew at home against Crawley 3-3, and then we went to Wimbledon and MK Dons, both away games, and won 2-1.
Yeah,
and they were the first two games of the run.
Yeah, and if I remember rightly as well, Torre had good games both of those matches. Oh, might not have played in the Wimbledon. He certainly had a good match in the MK Dons one, because you know him on the left with Barry, and maybe that was Barry that was you know that link up was working well. Here's a question for you, Jamie. Who's impressed you the most this season so far, and who's not impressed you the most? And we'll get comments from everybody else as well.
I think that sort of question can't really be answered in however long we've got. That's a tough question. I think easy to answer, the most impressed, Odin Bailey, without a shadow of a doubt, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Been fairly quiet in the last few games, but he hasn't. But I just think he's the sort of person that gets me very excited when he's got the ball. Really excited. And I'd probably shove Connor Evans into that mix. Come and Lemon Hay Evans. I think both of them on the day there.
Is the Bailey one is part of that because he came into the club last day of the season with no fanfare, and then all of a sudden, you know, scores a worldie against Swindon and plays really well for a considerable amount of time?
I felt as if he was written off before he even played a game. Yeah. Kids ball. Yeah. And since he's come into the club, I feel like, what did he have to do to get a game at Salford? I don't know whether he just didn't click in their system or I don't know, but it shocked me to see him producing each week and wonder how he's not getting in the soft or why they'd want to loan him to us.
Bizarre. Yeah, I think he had a fallout with the manager, didn't he? And that was one of the big things that why he wasn't there. But yeah, it was a very surprise signing because, yeah, I think everyone was like, well, why are we signing this guy? He can't get in the Salford squad. But I think it came to light that he wasn't in a very good place mentally, and he'd had a fallout with the manager. So it was, as you say, yeah, it took him a while to get his chance, didn't he? I think it was MK Dons. Was that the first time when he came on for like the last 15 minutes?
Yeah,
I think
it was. And he looked really good.
He's just pushed on since then.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what him moving to County's done for him mentally in such a short period of time, because fans love him. Sing his name each week.
And he's playing regularly.
He looks like he's enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Good choice. What about who's not impressed, or do we need to go through that one?
No, we'll leave that one.
Well, I'll say it because it's been mentioned by our mate Phil. Torre is the biggest disappointment for me, and it's not a slight. Well, I suppose it is a slight on him, but even Charlie pointed out in one of his pre or post match, didn't he? Probably a post match. There's no doubt that he's a good player. You know, you don't play for your national team, you don't play at League Two level and get in the League Two team of the year, play consistently at that level for what, 3, 4, 5 years, and then all of a sudden become a bad player. I just wonder whether it's confidence or just doesn't fit the system, doesn't like the surroundings, you know, whatever it is.
I think a lot of it's confidence, because as Charlie mentioned, it's his fault that he was being played as left centre back because he believed that he could play at left centre back.
And it's Charlie's fault.
Charlie said it in one of his interviews, didn't he? Saying if that's the position that he's been playing in, that's my decision to play him there. I know that's not his natural position, but that's on him, not on Torre. Mm. But as you say, I mean, I think he had one of his better games recently against Gillingham, and he was playing as a left back, which is his natural position, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, yeah, he was good at Gillingham. So, and I think with it being an away game, I think that made it easier. And then again on Saturday, I think it as soon as he got the ball, you could sort of hear the murmurings, the undertone, couldn't you? Without it actually people booing and stuff like that, or actually shouting at him, I think he could feel that, and that's where his confidence went. He looked on Saturday like he just wanted to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible and didn't really care where it went. He just didn't want to be involved. And I think that was a lot of because we was at home. But I think he did well at Gillingham. But yeah, I think overall he's not been what we expected us to be signing, or he's not been up to that standard that we expected him to play at.
I think it's more a frustration we all share for him, not at him. It's just we've seen it even in a county shirt when he first came in, like you said, the MK Dons and stuff. He's got it in it. Like he's a cracking player, like you said before. He doesn't play for his national team and be a regular EFL player for nothing really. He's got that physique as well, like quick, strong. Like so, I don't know. I think he'll come good.
Yeah, it's a cyclical thing, isn't it? I mean, it probably happens up and down the country. It's happened for years and years when a player maybe doesn't settle or has a few bad games for whatever reason, positional or whatever, the crowd might not even get on the player, but you do get that sense, don't you? Like you mentioned, Waggy, you get that sense in the ground. Then the player feels it a bit more. Then the fans feel it a bit more. And it's how do you get out of that cycle? I mean, the obvious answer to it is have a good game, innit? But that's easier said than done when you're difficult. In the cycle.
It's difficult for him to do that, isn't he? As you say, there's that the undertone there that as soon as he gets the ball, people aren't necessarily, as you say, there's a bit of a nervousness and that goes straight onto him. That's why, as you say, probably he's better off playing away from home because he won't feel that same pressure.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully he will come good for us. And as you say, as Phil said, none of us, and Jamie said, none of us want him to fail. We want him to play well. We want him to be a good player for us.
Yeah, no, we do. I don't think we want anyone to fail, do we? It's just there is that frustration. But yeah. Martin says as well, he's clearly an athlete. His footballing brain seems frazzled at the moment. It's hard when some of the crowd turn. Do you think if we had all the players fit, would it be a good time to pull him out of the firing line? You know, play Pye, play Bristow. If Rydell was fit, he would get a game and sort of take that pressure off Torrey.
I think so, but hadn't he dropped him for two or three games when not long after we'd signed Dixon? Didn't he drop him? And I think he played one game where he played as left centre back. Didn't he? When we went to a back five again, and then Dixon went off and he went to a left back. But I think there's been two or three games where he has been took out once we've got Dixon in.
Who's Dixon, by the way?
Bristow. Bristow.
Why? But when Dixon come back, nope.
Glad you said something.
Yeah, sorry.
Is that because
I knew who it meant.
Getting mixed up with fiction and reality.
Yeah, my brain frazzled. I was just nodding, smiling. Oh, yeah, Dixon.
This is a good point, actually, made by Matt. He says he seems to be the target for a few teams to start pressing. And why wouldn't you? Especially if he's playing in a back three. You're playing in a back three. And you know he's fairly uncomfortable in that, but yeah, if he's listening, we're behind you, mate. Just need to get you out of this cycle, I think. This cycle.
I've seen the comment there about him being targeted as I suppose a weakness. That can play on you mentally and how you perform, like. he might not realise it or whatever, but if the game's playing out that way, he's obviously going to be a lot under a lot more pressure than said other person. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I feel for him, but I'm confident he'll pull it around. He'll hit the ground running again.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Right. So that's Colchester on Saturday. Just on the crowd then, just a quick word on the crowd. It has felt a bit flat in Edgeley Park recently. And I personally put that down to nervousness and this little bit of a wobble perhaps that we're having.
Yeah.
I can't really put it down to anything else. People do seem to get involved when it all starts to chant and stuff. So, I'll tell you what will probably happen though, going forward, as we build the stands up, and we'll briefly mention that in a second. I think you'll start to see the sections of the fans spread out a bit and be a bit more disjointed. So I hope that is something we don't have to deal with too much, because that'd be a shame if all the singers went into different stands. I know we've got the pop side section, haven't we, in the middle that sing. They have a bit of a... Do they sometimes have a drum in there as well?
Yeah, I think there's a
drum in there every game.
Is they in the pop side, yeah. And then obviously we've got the pop side... the Cheadle End Upper Tier 3 lads that have got the drum as well. And they do make a racket, so... So, yeah. I don't know, but what about you guys? You think it's anything more than nervousness with the crowd? It seems a bit flat at the moment.
I think a lot of it is nervousness. but I think as well, I think these, as you say, there's just certain things like the PA system, the build up, the songs, the playing songs when they're coming out, which aren't county related. I think
I can't even hear him. What is it? It's some sort of classical, is it? I've heard.
It's some weird thing. It's like, and that seems to drown the crowd out, especially you say, as soon as the players are coming out, the PA system should go off, and then it should be you just hear. Because they're always, I sit at the bottom of upper tier 3, and they're always, I mean, obviously, I can hear them because they're right behind me. And they're always, the drums going and everybody's singing and stuff like that. But it's just, you probably can't hear it in the rest of the ground because they've got whatever the song is.
I've recently been thinking, so obviously Liverpool are in the limelight quite a lot with Jürgen leaving and stuff like that. They have You'll Never Walk Alone when they come out. But we genuinely have something there.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That we could use and generate to our own advantage. The scarf my father wore.
Yeah.
And I remember, well, growing up, being a County fan throughout the years and stuff, it's kind of like phased out a bit, but whenever that got sung, most people would hold up scarves. And it's not copying anyone else. We have our own anthem, so to speak. And yeah, it's quite special. So I just think there's a missed opportunity there for us to generate, like, you'll have away fans coming going, oh God, I can't wait to witness, it's like this spectacle. I don't know, I'm no expert, but
that's a good chance.
I don't know why, because
we've got the if we didn't want to play, because it's the originals, this is the sash or something, and I believe so. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not up on the religious sort of connotations of it. So maybe playing that isn't for everybody because it is the sash and what religiously it means to people. But I do know that the fans, because I've got the CD, like 40-odd songs of the fans singing songs, they sung the scarf my father, wore. No, they said Bagara wore them. That's the name of this podcast. and maybe they could just stick that on and that would get everybody going, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said the sash, my father, because obviously I believe it. I don't know anything about it, to be quite honest with you.
Yes.
Yeah, but I know it has some, obviously. But like you said, have it played the county CD. I just think it'd be crazy. It'd be interesting to see. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. If it was the scarf my father wore and not that sash, yeah, I think they could do, but then would there be a school of thought that you have, you know, I don't know if we look down on, we have to play songs sung by our own fans when we come out to generate an atmosphere. Why can't we just sing it ourselves? There is that point to consider as well. So yeah, but it's a good shout. It is a very good shout. I mean, we tried all sorts, haven't we? They asked the players once, I remember, and they, years and years ago, and they chose The Underdog by Kasabian. Yeah, proper good tune, but it's called The Underdog and you're playing Colwyn Bay. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
So,
oh, flashbacks.
Yeah. sorry, yeah. So yeah, it's definitely one for discussion. Okay. Let's move on. I just wanted to say a few things before we move on to the second section where we're going to speak to Jamie about himself and what he does at County and things like that. So there's three Salford tickets that were up for grabs. They've all been won now. Obviously, Martin is online chatting with us now. He's won one. He got his ticket on Saturday. Jamie, like I call Jamie's won, got in contact with him, so he's going to get his. And then somebody else has won through the Fan Hub app. Please join the Fan Hub app. If you've not, we've got a little hub on there ourselves for the Scarf Bagara War, and we will do giveaways on there based on mileage, based on predictions and things like that, all the things to do with Fan Hub. So do get us on there and do join. We are going to start working more closely with the co-op as well. So really, really pleased about that. We're going to have regular co-op updates for you, probably on separate podcasts. And maybe get Dave and some of the team on here and just to chat county on a weekly basis. But I've got to say, they are planning an event with Jim Gannon at the Spinning Top. So look out for details on there. Go to their new website. Oh, it's new in the next few days, probably, I think, early March. And do that. Our own patrons will get discount for that event. So I think it's a paid event. But if you're a patron of Scarf Bagara War, you will get a discount for that. And they are still looking for volunteers, by the way. So if there's anything you can do, maybe help with the co-op, do get in touch with them via the website. And they're always looking for volunteers. So what we've got coming soon in terms of the co-op is we're going to talk to Ed, who's a board member, about the meeting minutes. So we'll talk in depth about the ground, the catering, and all the things that discussed around that session that they had with the club, including the lease that came out today and the asset of community value and maybe bust some myths that are happening on the socials I've seen with in terms of that ACV, which I helped set up, and obviously the lease as well that's come out today. So we'll clear all that up for you. So hopefully that's welcome news and we'll have separate podcasts on that. So I just wanted to say all that as a bit of admin while we are halfway through the show. So we're going to be busy, aren't we, Waggy?
Yes, we are. We are. All good. Yeah. All good.
Yes. Right. So I'm going to play this little interlude and then we'll speak to Jamie about himself and what he does at County.
If you're watching us on YouTube, please like, share and subscribe. And for the audio podcast, please rate, review and recommend us on whatever podcast player you are listening to us on. Cheers. Thank you.
Okay, one thing I've got to say before we speak to you, Jamie, sorry. Nick Tenner said, are we getting Roger Wild back on? Great interview, but riddled with cutouts. I think what we'll do with Roger is get him over to Basque for a live one, I think. So just so there's no technology between us and him, because I think that's where we went wrong.
If not, we'll get a couple of plastic cups and a bit of string.
Yeah. Great episode that, loved him, but it was a bit like talking to me dad after he'd had a double stroke. So yeah, like dead close to the camera, like yeah. Yeah, okay, cool. Right, Jamie, you told us before you were born in 1997. Not that that matters to any of this, by the way, but born in 1997. Anthony Pilkington, let's talk about him for a second, because that's a really good player to choose as your best player. What do you remember of Anthony Pilkington then? Being 10 or 11 years old, I guess.
Just feel like he was a complete player. He's one of those rare players that your club gets from time to time that he's so consistent and he just produces magic week in, week out. Remember in particular, it stands to mind of the gold shirt that we went unbeaten on, just scoring goals from outside the box. It made me happy when I was watching him play.
That's well, what more can you ask for? You know, that
not a lot.
Player makes you happy. Both footed as well, I think I remember, and decent in the air.
Yeah, yeah. I think he scored one of the weirdest headers in a cup in the league playoff final. Just that.
Yeah, that's right. Michael Rose crossed it in, and he sort of. He didn't have to generate much power because of the cross, and it just went in off the underside of the bar, didn't it?
I've not seen many headers like that. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it was a header. It bounced before it got to him as well.
I think. And he got it off the bar and went in as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pilks was somewhat special. And it's one of those that I can remember in my lifetime, like, your Brett Angels, your Alan Armstrongs and stuff. Obviously born in 97. Yeah, so bit of a hero, Pilks.
Yeah, definitely. Andy from the Childy end says he was exciting to watch. He bloody was, yeah. Can't disagree with you. Phil Lloyd says he saw Pilks play for Atherton Collieries when Alan Lord was managing them just before he joined a look quality. I think he scored did he score a hat trick against FC United? I think I remember in the early rounds of the FA Cup, perhaps, or maybe the league. That's something that I do remember. I think somebody will fact check me there, I'm sure, but I'm pretty sure that was something.
Wouldn't surprise me, Russ.
Yeah, he was just mustard, wasn't he? And as well, obviously, it is Alan Lord, and it's. You know, Jim Gannon brought him to County, didn't he? I've got that right, I know. This is where we need Ben, you see.
Yeah. Don't ask me questions like this. You know I'm shit at this.
I mean, any quiz question about bringing the good players to County, you could probably say Jim Gannon, and I bet 9 times out of 10 you're right. Because he's been involved in a lot of what's happened in a good way for County for a long, long time. Good stuff. You also said your 5-0 was the best or the Nuneaton win. I'm going to make you choose now. 5-0 Wrexham or Nuneaton win.
Oh. That's an unfair question, to be fair. It's hard because without, I don't know, telling you my life story, I've got life stories for each, why I would pick them, but...
Go on then. No. Obviously, don't be. We don't want to be here till 9:30.
I'm gonna have to pick the Nuneaton one. I mean, I don't need to tell anyone how special it is to beat your biggest rivals at home 5-0. Crazy stuff, but
yeah.
Nuneaton, obviously, with all the melee that unfolded a week earlier... And we weren't going to be in that point at that stage. So that set us up. And the game wasn't even won before the ball was kicked. We still had to win, so to speak. So obviously emotions were up and down, but just to have the whole stadium virtually, just everyone having a good time, it just really sparked our return upwards. That was the main thing because... I remember sitting in the bungalow behind the railway end one game. I think it was Bradford Park Avenue at home. I nearly cried to my brother because I was just like, are we ever going to get back to the football? Because I just felt we were in there for so long. I just felt like it wasn't coming. So it was an emotional day, not eating. And obviously, it's weird because I managed to wangle my way into the after party at Bradbury Hall. I didn't wangle. I knew Adam Thomas at the time because his parents live about 5 minutes away from us. So jumped in his taxi, me and Hannah, the missus. Nice. And so the day just had everything. And it's probably one of my favourite stories, ever county stories, to be fair.
So what anything decent happen in the after party then? That anything?
No, just a lot.
Anything broadcastable?
No. Just, to be fair, it was just, we were all just like singing county songs, the players, some of like the fans, I don't know, I didn't know everyone there, but it was just a really good end to the day.
And, Sounds good. What happens in Bradbury Hall stays in Bradbury Hall.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
If you could ever get in.
I live pretty much next door, don't I?
Yeah.
I've only ever been twice. Hey, good stuff. Tell us about you then. Tell us about what you do at County and how you got the gig. Because, you know, I was talking to your brother about it. Because we meet each other pre-match and stuff. And I was saying it. I said, you've probably got a job for life here, haven't you? I say a job. I don't know if you work full-time and stuff. But, you know, you've been doing this for a long time.
As long as they will have me, I'm there till the end. Very fortunate. I never take it for granted. Dream job. Literally living the dream, because obviously the dream would be to play for County, but just with all the money I spend going to away games, my past being a County fan, just wearing the badge, just doing what I'm doing, being able to do what I can do, it's class. Absolutely love it.
So you work in the ticket office, do you?
Started off in the ticket office. Right. I don't know if you know Sarah Dibben.
I heard the name, yeah.
Yeah, well, she still works at County. About 5 years ago, I went in to collect one of my away tickets, and just on a whim, I just asked if there was any jobs going. And she got me a job working in the ticket office, never looked back. Obviously, ever since then, I've been dealing with like selling away tickets. I mean, I did much more in the week when I still lived in Stockport. But I mean, now I only work match days because obviously the commute just got too much. But selling away tickets, collections, home tickets, season tickets, did a lot of work out of season when I still lived in Stockport. Set like getting people to join, season tickets and stuff. And and then the mascotting started the year we won the National League title. We played Altrincham on Boxing Day, 4-1 win. And I don't really know the reasons as to why I was asked, but Olivia, who's my manager, head of sports services and ticket commercial, she asked if I would do it, and it wasn't turning that down. to be honest, whatever they've asked me to do, I'm confident in saying that I'll do anything. I've worked turnstiles the odd occasion, mascots, ticket. I just love County. I live and breathe it. Absolutely live and breathe it.
No, I can hear the passion in your voice. We had the same last week with Liam. The passion just shone through with Liam Cash, groundsman. So, I mean, just a couple of things there. Wearing the badge in an official capacity, even when I was the goalkeeping coach for the ladies team and they handed me a jacket and said, that's yours, and it had the badge on it, I was like, what? It's like I'm representing County. Is that the way you feel as well when you're representing the club, aren't you?
Yeah, massive. It's matured me a lot as well, because obviously, I'll say it, obviously being so attached to County and the little boy that once was like nowhere near the players and stuff, you've kind of got to like keep it all, like, because it doesn't seem real a lot of the time. And obviously you've got to maintain that professionalism and stuff like that, which I'm confident I do. But yeah, it sometimes doesn't really sink in that I'm actually doing what I'm doing. And people might think, well, he's not a player or a coach, but it's what I get from it that's the main thing. And yeah, best job I've ever had or will have for sure.
Yeah. No, it sounds top. I definitely can hear your passion and enthusiasm coming through. One thing I've got to say, though, having coached an under-8s to under-11s team, I mean, dealing with kids, mate, hats off to you. I could not do that.
I have to say, well, I'm a support worker. That's my actual job for vulnerable.
Ah, right, okay, cool.
Well, for vulnerable adults with autism. But before I moved to the Wirral, I worked in a respite home for children like 5 to 18. I love working with kids. As far as my dad's side, I didn't have the best upbringing. My mum did, but you only get one childhood once. And I just think my energy, I'm a big kid at heart, so it's just really easy for me to get on their level and just, you know, have a good time and tell them jokes and make them feel like, you get a few that feel nervous and uncomfortable, but it's just gone like that. Me and Katie we just bounce off each other. I hope Katie won't mind me saying, but I feel like she's the female version of me, like just the energy levels and stuff. She makes it so easy. We just compliment each other very well.
Nice. No, it sounds really good. Sounds really good. I love it. Love it.
It's funny though, Russ, because I mean, it doesn't feel like work, that sort of environment, because it's fun. Do you know what I mean? It's not very rare that you find a job like that.
Yeah. And I bet as well, not wanting to put words in your mouth, but I bet the time just flies by when you're there.
Yeah. From the moment, I think it's like quarter to one, 1 o'clock, they'll arrive. It just goes like that. Before you know it, you're walking out the tunnel at the end. Once you've got all the mascots lined up to a player, it's just crazy.
Yeah. We've got a question here. I don't know how well you can answer this. Ian Dowden says, which one of the players is the best with the young kids?
I actually have one. Jaden Richardson.
Before he left.
I've not seen it in the time that I've done the mascotting, but they were transitioning from one area to the pitch to the other, and it happened to be where we were stood. And Jaden Richardson, out of the blue, just came and like interacted with the kids on his own accord, but playing football with them. And do you know, for them kids, they'll remember that forever. It's just the time and the effort and stuff. And to be fair, all the players do that. They're great, the players. Because what I like to do is, well, me and Katie like to do is just before the players are coming off the pitch into the tunnel, we get them lined up and they'll all give them a high five and they all interact with them and stuff like that. So, yeah, very, very lucky. But it's kind of what we're about, though, as a club, aren't we? We're very community-driven and it's no surprise to me, really.
And it's no coincidence that when Mark Stock came in, he said that in his opening speeches, didn't he? And that comes from the top, doesn't it? That culture is set at the top and it flows down. I think, to be honest though, I think we've kind of always been like that. We've probably just not had the resources in the past, whereas now we've got it feels like all the resources in the world, doesn't it?
I'm sure Mark and his team never have to worry about buying a pint.
Oh, God, no. No, definitely.
What they've done is just,
it's just phenomenal. Really. Phenomenal. Phil Lloyd says, Rob McCloy's son, who's a regular listener, is Rob. James was mascot on Saturday and Rob was full of praise for the way that James was treated. Yeah, I don't think we can ask for more. And that's testament to you as well, Jamie. That's, you know, it's one of the mascot's fathers saying that, so...
It's the best feedback me and I'm sure Kate would agree, because at the end of the day, they're entrusting us to, you know, deliver because they're paying good money for them to experience mascotting at Edgeley Park, and we as a team, me and Kate, we have to do our best to deliver that, and to get that feedback just goes a long way. Really, I can't appreciate it enough, to be quite honest.
Yeah, good stuff. No, it sounds like you do a cracking job, mate. It's long may it continue. And those kids that do come through, you know, let's hope they're all County fans for their lifetimes as well. Because that's effectively what we want, isn't it? So, good stuff.
I do have those conversations.
Do you?
Yeah. I'll ask, like, what team do you play for and stuff like that. I say, yeah, well, make sure you get on County's books and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I'm not taking any credit for it, by the way.
I take it, do you ever come across...
Sign
and
fee.
Yeah, finder's fee, yeah. Do you ever... It's probably unlikely, and it's probably a stupid question to ask, but do any of them ever say, oh, yeah, support United or support City? I suppose they're all County fans, aren't they, that are going to be mascot?
You would hope so.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. But it is what it is. We're all in that kind of thingy when you're in at a young age. But no, we get a lot that are just, I don't like to say this, but more County mad than me. That's nice when you get that. I don't really know, actually.
Okay.
Can't really remember.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't tell you if they were anyway. I suspect.
Yeah.
good stuff. Right. Just one last question. Ian Dowden says, what's the age limit? Is 44 too old? I think it is, Ian. Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. shall we do getting rezzers before we finish up?
Let's do it.
Rezzers. Get in the rezzers. Get in the rezzers.
I'm not having that.
Get in the rezzers.
Get in rezzers.
So until Nick gets in touch and says we can't use his voice, we're going to use that. it's too good and cringy, not, you know, just to give up. I'm sure he won't mind. Right, getting rezzers. Who wants to go first?
Go on, guest first. Go on, Jamie. Have you got one, or you need to think?
I have got one.
Right, go on then. You go first, Jamie. Go on.
Right.
The build up. I like the build up.
Mine is any throw-in that ever exists on a football pitch. Every player will have this ability to move with the ball about 5-10 yards and then start their run up, right? As if we're all oblivious to what's going on. I don't like it when a County player does it, and I don't like it when an opposition player does it. It's cheating. And it annoys the hell out of me. It's just a personal bugbear. Winds me up.
No, it's yeah, it does. It winds me up a bit as well. But yeah, I've noticed our friend Sam Byrne gets wound up by people getting wound up by it. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but I think it was the corner one, isn't it? Where it's got to be in the little D in the corner, but it only has to be, again, a part of the ball touching the line. So
I thought it was to do with throw-ins.
I think it was more to do with that, but I think it was that went on to talking about the throw-ins as well. But as you said, yeah, it can get in the rezzers, along with them not taking the free kicks in the right place. Like Swindon keeper did it. He must have took about 25 yards on two or three. You know what I mean? He was like the referee blew it when he was inside his 6-yard box and he was taking the free kick outside of his box.
Yeah,
you know, it was things like that. But as you say, it's every single team does it, but it doesn't make it any less annoying.
No, I completely agree with that, Roggie, but I feel like it's just become part of the game and we all accept it.
It's just standard, isn't it? Yeah.
So I suppose I've just got to get on with it, really. But
yeah, it can go in rezzes, but you've just got to see it. Darren Bowden, our secret ref, says refs don't bother to sort it, though. No, they don't. They don't. Yeah. Some of them point and go, get
they
back.
They do occasionally. They do occasionally, and they'll put them back 15 yards and then turn around and walk away, and then they'll take them 15 yards back and take the throw in from where they were anyway.
Yeah.
I'd say the most it ever gets done about it is for example, Gillingham, right? There's quite a lot of us behind, well, at the side. If you've got everyone running downstairs and going, ref, ref, it makes it more thingy, but otherwise, I don't know, they just seem to. Getting reses anyway.
Getting reses. The other one, which is a bit of a nuance to that, is have you noticed that if they have to take a throw attacking in the corner and it's right in the corner, they steal yards the other way, don't they?
Yeah.
So they've got a better angle. Yeah. It's that can get in reses. Yeah. In fact, since we started getting reses, I think there's only ever been one thing that we've not thrown in the reses, but I can't remember what it was. So my memory can get in the reses. Waggy, what about you?
This shite that they come out with now is like they're going about Klopp's Liverpool and his Liverpool 2.0. Why is it Liverpool 2.0? It's just a natural progression. Some players have left, some players have come in. It's just his new team. It's not 2.0, because if it was 2.0, they'd be much better than the previous version. They'd have won everything, and that'd be that, done and dusted. Did Alex Ferguson have version 7.3 because he rebuilt that team so many times? No, he just rebuilt the team. That's the nature of football. Fucking Klopp's 2.0 or anybody's 2.0, that can get in the reses when it's a football team.
Who mentioned it was 2.0? Was that Klopp himself, Clipperty himself?
No, it's been mentioned in the media. This is Klopp's 2.0, that going for the quadruple because it's his last season.
Right.
If it's his version 2.0, it's bullshit.
Do you know what that just stinks of trying to apply corporate bullshit bingo to football?
Yeah, it doesn't work because, as you say, look at, like, say, Ferguson, Wenger, that they have versions 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, 5, etc.
No,
they just rebuilt the team.
Yeah.
So it can get in the fucking reses.
Yeah. I'm going to have to tick that explicit button again now, aren't I, Waggy? Jesus Christ, right? when I upload it. This isn't my get in the reses, but it's kind of related to yours. I did notice that Kameen Kelleher, is that his name? Have I got that right? The keeper? Kameen Kelleher. His, Klopp doesn't call him his reserve keeper. He calls him his 1B keeper.
Oh, that can get in the reses.
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Just save that for next week, really, shouldn't I?
whatever that means, it can get in the reses.
Yeah. I don't even understand it. You just get in the reses. Yeah. It's trying to be too nice. It's like saying, well, I don't think you are better than Alisson, but you are. I don't think Alisson's better than you, but he is, because he's your 1B and Alisson is 1A.
Is that not more of a put down that, you know, you're 1B? You're not my reserve keeper, you're 1B.
1B, yeah, you're just a number.
It's more than I've ever been.
You're just a letter.
You're not as good as Alisson, and you only ever play when he's injured or we're playing in, we're playing in the Mickey Mouse Cup. Oh, no, sorry, we've just won that. What else can we do?
Got to say, your rants, Waggy's rants, are getting a lot of love in the comments. So maybe that's a new feature.
Passion.
can't be the M62 every week. although Jamie might agree with you there that the M62 can get in the reses as well.
Yeah,
he's not over. Probably be the 56 with the 56.
Oh yeah, sorry, 56 and 53 for you, isn't it?
I have to say, the M56 and M53 are as good as motorways get.
Apart from around the airport and trying to get on the M60. But
yeah,
we'll leave that for another episode.
Right, yeah. Let's not get onto motorways.
My missus is listening.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see.
I already told her that was going in the reses.
Right, my getting reses, and I promised I would mention this for someone on the County Heaven board, because I can't remember, it was Yellow Board. Someone mentioned it and said, listen to our getting the reses last week, and this can get in the reses this week. Off-centre dugouts, where the dugouts are not aligned properly to the centre, to the halfway line, and they're off-centre. That my OCD, just it cannot cope with that because it's just like, well,
did you not put down the reses last week?
No, no, off center camera angles last week.
Oh,
right. I was thinking that, yeah.
What did you say? What was different?
Off center dugouts.
Off center dugouts, right.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying Cheadle Town had that?
Cheadle Town.
No, they were central.
Yeah, I don't know. And isn't counties off centre? Counties are off centre, are they? Slightly.
I mean, your point, it can get in the reses. That, yeah. I empathise with you with that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's just because if and it's probably going to be to the advantage of the home team, I would say, isn't it? Because the dugout that is the home would probably be in line with the centre half, the halfway line. And then the away team is going to be off somewhere, like down the pitch somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just get it aligned properly so it looks. Yeah. Off centre camera angles can get in. Yeah,
it's next week's going to be off centre stands, like Carlisle's.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Dan Culverwell says off centre stands. Cheers, Dan. Yeah, Carlisle does it. It's just there's a story behind it, though, isn't
there? There is a story behind it, but yeah, it's very strange being in that corner of the ground.
Well, it's just very strange being in that corner behind the goal, but you're at the side. The side behind the goal.
Yeah.
Weird. Cool. Right. That's getting reses. Cheers, boys. That was two good getting the reses. Then there was mine. So just to tell you about some upcoming pods we've got coming. We've got the Courtyard Club call. Obviously, that's every Monday. Patrons get that in your inbox or in Patreon Monday afternoon. Latest Monday, early evening. Sometimes work gets in the way, unfortunately, so we have to record it a bit later. We have got the Mentel episode.
Thursday.
Say that again.
I said in the next few weeks, it might be like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yes. Yeah. Got the Mentel episodes. The Matt Baxter one's coming out in the next couple of days. Did record that on Thursday. I had technical issues, as I always do. But yeah, we got over those. Cheers to Matt for that. And we've got the others planned in as well. And then I'm recording with Steve Massey part two with Richard Singleton as well. So those that have heard Steve Massey part one, part two is coming very soon. And this probably will be centered around Steve Massey and his playing days with George Best, because that was a thing that happened. So very interesting there. And yeah, we're on Patreon. Get us on Etsy. Please join us on Patreon. Subscribe if you haven't already. And all those good things. So yeah, cheers, boys. Really appreciate you coming on.
Russ, just before we go.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I always forget something. Yes.
You do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, God, do you want to flash up the flag? So there was a flag left in the Gillingham end, the away end at Gillingham when we played last Tuesday. And Jamie's picked it up and wants to reunite it with its owner. So I know if you're listening to the audio podcast, you probably can't see this clearly because it's an audio podcast, but Jamie's showing the flag now. So if we can get that to its rightful owner. I think, Jamie, you said you think it's somebody from down south. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I was asking at the end of the game, and word has it that it was a couple of young hatters from the London area, I believe. But, yeah, I don't have Facebook, so I was unable to put a post out there.
Yeah, we'll get something.
But it's safe until it returns to their owner.
Yeah, brill. So let's hope we can get that to its rightful owner. That'd be a good thing to do. Cheers, mate. Yeah, and please do like the video as well. And that'd be useful. Try and get those likes up. Right. Colchester away on Saturday. Let's hope for 3 points.
Yep.
See you later.
This episode Cheers.
Of the Scarf the Gowl
See you later.
Was written, recorded, and produced by Russ Johnson and Nick Lee. The music on the opening titles was produced by Dan Johnson. Subscribe wherever you get your content, as well as finding out how to join the TSBW fan club. Check out the links in the description or go to all the W's, scarfbegalawar.co.uk.
It's the 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.